Good morning, everybody. Do bear with me. I've had a bit of a cold, so I might get a bit dry. Wonderful readings this morning. So I welcome you all here on Palm Sunday. So as Malcolm said earlier, Palm Sunday marks the end of Lent as we prepare for Holy Week and Easter, which helps us to appreciate Jesus' ministry as we journey through this season. During Lent, I certainly uncovered a few challenging issues in my life, but I think I've grown and drawn nearer to Jesus, loving, healing, forgiving Saviour. I suspect that many of you have done the same. So Palm Sunday brings us out of Lent to commemorate Jesus' triumphant entry into Jerusalem. So let's read some scripture relating to Palm Sunday and then review the reading we had earlier, because I'd like us to look at some aspects of prayer from the texts. So if you've got your Bibles, can we turn to John chapter 12, verses 12 to 16? It's on page 1080 of the Pew Bibles. No, sorry, 1079. So the next day, the great crowd that had come for the feast heard that Jesus was on his way to Jerusalem. They took palm branches and went out to meet him, shouting, "Hosanna! Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Blessed is the King of Israel." Jesus found a young donkey and sat upon it, as it was written, "Do not be afraid, O daughter of Zion. See, your king is coming, seated on a donkey's colt." At first, his disciples did not understand all of this. Only after Jesus was glorified did they realize that these things had been written about him and that they had done these things to him. So this event had been foretold almost 500 years earlier than it actually occurred, according to the prophet Zechariah, and reveals the foretelling of an important event that would mark the coming of the Messiah. So in light of this special occasion, I've brought in, as you can see, a lovely branch from the palm tree in my garden. This palm is very special to me because, like Jesus, it is a sign of triumph. It has overcome all of life's recent storms and freezing weather, despite being planted nearly 20 years ago. Its Latin name, bear with me, is Trachycarpus fortunae. A bit of a mouthful for an East Ender, but in English it's known as the windmill fan palm. They are renowned for their hardiness, their strength. They remain green and flourishing in all weathers. But this palm was hardly noticeable in my garden because it remained small and insignificant amongst all the other plants. I'd thought nothing of it for years, and then suddenly one day I noticed the size of the other palm that I'd planted at roughly the same time, and it dawned on me that the shrub growing next to this palm had been overshadowing it, depleting its growth. So, like any sensible wife who doesn't like dirty work, I asked my husband Steve over there to remove the shrub so that I could see if the palm would grow. 3 years later, and the palm has thrived, massively increased in size, and is beautifully flourishing, taking up a significant space in the garden. Now, this brought to mind the Paracelsus devotional that we've been following throughout Lent, which I found really powerful these last 40 days. I don't know if some of you have. The theme of journeying together and loving one another has certainly helped me to look at a few sorely placed shrubs that have been overshadowing my own spiritual growth for some time. aware that when I find myself facing painful or traumatic issues, I have to consciously make a decision. Do I draw nearer to God in prayer, in his word? Or do I do the habitual thing and deny the real issues to stay in my comfort zone? On reflection, I realised that I had actually been glancing at this palm tree almost daily for 20 years. It's in clear view from my kitchen window. But in all honesty, I wasn't ready to deal with the upheaval. It was just another thing that I had procrastinated amongst the long list of things to do. So I just left it there, being overshadowed, hoping that somehow it would miraculously spring into life without any due attention on my part. Thankfully, I had someone to help me remove the shrub, but I'm aware that some people would have to struggle with something like this alone. Ideally, we would all be honest with ourselves and Jesus daily, but many of us find this difficult. Our busy lives can be conveniently overwhelming and so prevent us from taking the time out to face the truth about ourselves, our experiences, past and present. This can make it difficult to plan for the future. But sometimes our fear of upheaval is too frightening to concede. Many of them knew Jesus intimately and had seen him face to face. They had experienced his goodness, his wisdom, and his grace. He had healed and delivered many and journeyed with his disciples in dynamic and revolutionary ways, connecting with them and going deeper, not just touching the surface or providing a quick fix, but getting right to the root of the problems and difficulties. On his entry into Jerusalem, the crowds were ecstatic, joyful, exhilarated, because they had not fully understood what was to happen after the Passover. They were unaware that a few days later, Jesus would be crucified, dead and buried, and would rise again. We too are unsure of what will happen from one day to the next. According to the scripture we have just read, Jesus needed a colt, and someone was able to provide it for him. But realistically, we don't actually know what Jesus has required of us in the future. So we need to be prepared and be ready so that we are right on time with him. There are many things that can hinder our preparation. Ill health, financial difficulties, anxiety, or the sin that so easily entangles us. All these are like shrubs that overshadow and stunt our growth. I've heard that Jesus addresses our deep spiritual problems, and when we are hungry for change or renewal, because with renewal comes revival, the transformation of something or someone who is surviving into something or someone who is thriving, like my palm tree. Just like Jesus. Sometimes the restoration process can take a long time, and although many of the gospel healings seemed instant, I suspect they were just the start of the restoration process, because the healing of the heart and the soul can take a long time. But we can be sure that Jesus will take the lead and journey with us all the way. In Jesus, we have a King unlike any other, a wonderful Saviour, the Prince of Peace. Jesus was not about to conquer lands and peoples with violence like other earthly kings, but was conquered in himself with love, sacrifice, and forgiveness. That took commitment and discipline. A few years earlier, Jesus had overcome all the temptations of the world during his 40 years in the wilderness. Greed, power, wealth, self-centeredness, fame. He overcame Satan's deceit and lies and refused to submit to the temptations that the world offered. Here, we see King Jesus who cares and has compassion for the ordinary men and women in the world. He is selfless rather than self-seeking. His priority was and always is us. Our friends, families, neighbours. These are potentially his friends, family and neighbours. Strangers even. All those who are weary and heavy laden. All those who are often sick, broken, tired. He wants to give them peace and rest. He wants to meet us in our suffering. So what is it about Jesus that enabled him to go the distance in his ministry, to serve his people and overcome? Even the prospect of the most horrific death. Well, it seems to be that the answer is prayer. John chapter 1 verse 12 says, and I've lost it. John chapter 12. Sorry, John chapter 1, verse 12. Says, he is the word who became flesh. Sorry, verse 14. He is the word who became flesh and dwelt among us. We have seen his glory, the glory of the one and only Son, who came from the Father, full of grace and truth. Let us remember that Jesus continues to dwell with us. This is a past and present and future reality. He knows everything that is going on in our hearts and our lives. Jesus was and is somehow fully human and fully God. And he knows everything that is going on in our hearts and lives. Jesus wants us to come out of the shadows. He participates in our suffering. The suffering that we cannot conceal under the shadows. The reading earlier today came from Luke chapter 22 verses 39 to 45. I'd like you to turn to it in your Bible, if you can. And in it, Jesus talks about prayer. Prayer so that our faith will not fail, which is the ultimate challenge for all of us, to keep the faith. It's great when circumstances are uplifting and we are giving thanks. However, when life's tragedies and disappointments hit home and we wonder where God is in all of it, we will all need some extra strength and support to hold fast to Jesus in prayer and cover one another along the journey. Jesus is our leader in this, and of course we have the Holy Spirit. I think it is impossible to hold on to faith without honest prayer, which involves being in an intimate relationship with Jesus as we entreat his help to overcome. Even Jesus prayed to the Father for strength to overcome in his distress. In verse 42, a little earlier, Jesus cried out, "Father, if you are willing, take this cup from me, yet not my will, but yours be done." here, we can see that in his anguish, Jesus prayed emotionally, earnestly, with sincere conviction. He admitted that the cup of his suffering seemed too much to bear, and there may be times when we need to do the same. I noticed that Jesus didn't say what he thought the Father wanted to hear, some nice religious talk, the stiff upper lip. He was honest about his true feelings and wasn't hiding under the shadows. He was then strengthened by an angel. He didn't pray what he thought the disciples wanted to hear. Instead, he became vulnerable, expressing his fears, weaknesses, and confronting them. Jesus' prayers were from the heart, and he overcame. When Jesus rose from prayer and returned to the disciples, he found them asleep, exhausted from sorrow as they had seen and heard his torment. Verse 46 says, "Why are you sleeping?" he asked them. "Get up and pray so that you will not fall into temptation." I don't think he was cross with them. He just wanted them to understand that prayer helps them to overcome all their challenges. Our King Jesus, King of Kings and Lord of Lords, reminds us to enter into the spiritual battle, to do the Father's will. In his flesh, Jesus felt weak, but in his spirit he became strong, strong enough to gain victory over sin, death, and the temptations of the devil, so that his faith did not fail when he needed it the most. And this is what he desires for all of us, to journey with him as he journeys alongside us in an intimate two-way relationship. En route, Jesus may want to uproot a few overshadowing shrubs in our hearts and lives along the way, and we may be sifted like wheat, but he will make us stronger for the journey. That text picked up after Jesus' triumph, and when he encouraged Simon Peter to pray, he also said in verse 31, "Simon, Simon, Satan has asked to sift you as wheat, but I have prayed for you, Simon, that your faith may not fail. And when you have turned back, strengthen your brothers." The same word sift is used in the context of a sieve in Isaiah. It gives us some imagery of Satan's intention to shake us up and expose some of our rough edges to see whether or not our response is favourable or contradictory. An article I read by John Piper said, "The word of encouragement, consolation and hope that I want to offer you today from God's word is that if you love God and are called according to his purpose, if you are despairing in your own resources and looking to Christ for hope, then to you belongs the most wonderful promise. Jesus prayed for you, and he will never let Satan destroy your faith or bring you to ruin." Again, we can see this Greek word parakleo, Jesus entreating Simon and assuring him that though he is feeling weak, he will be strong enough to be strengthened along the journey, strong enough to strengthen others. So we can see that Jesus' emphasis is on the necessity of prayer. Prayer that his followers overcome the temptations they fail. Prayer so that their faith will not fail. So en route, Jesus may want to uproot a few overshadowing shrubs in our hearts and lives along the way. And we may be sifted like wheat, but he will make us stronger for the journey so that we are flourishing just like my palm tree. So we can see from the scriptures that Jesus gives us insight into the spiritual warfare at his most powerful. As followers of Jesus, we are not wrestling just with flesh and blood, but with principalities and powers in the heavenly realms. So let us just take a minute now to pray. If you'd like to close your eyes. And so, Father, we pray that God's power and passion be with us in prayer as we ask Jesus to help us remove the shrubs and bushes that overshadow and prevent us from being ready when we are needed. We pray, Holy Spirit, that you help us to on the journey with Jesus daily, in intimacy and truth, and respectfully with one another. Help us to flourish like the leaves on your fan palm trees, touching many lives with your love and compassion as we weather the storms of life and are revived, restored, and strengthened for the journey, for the sake of your kingdom and glory. Amen.